7. War. Approximately 31 minutes. Continue about another 20 feet into the room to come to an orange and black wall poster showing front page war headlines from several newspapers. Text reads, War. Well, Bill, it has come at last. God help us all. Franklin Roosevelt to Ambassador William Bullitt, 2:50 a.m., September 1st, 1939. At 2:50 a.m. on September 1st, 1939, the president was asleep at the White House when the phone by his bedside rang. William Bullitt, America's ambassador to France, was calling from Paris with grim news. The German army was invading Poland. World War II had begun. 2 days later, Great Britain and France, who had pledged to defend Poland if Germany attacked, entered the swiftly widening conflict. The war, the most destructive in human history, would transform America and the world. Turn around 180 degrees, walk about 6 feet back, and turn right. On the wall in front of you is a large black and white photograph of protesters holding signs, one saying, We are the Stay Out of Europe Legion. Roosevelt's actions sparked a great national debate about whether the United States should remain neutral in the building conflagration. To listen to more information about this debate, please press 711 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn around 180 degrees and move forward about 5 feet. A video screen entitled World at War depicts scenes of war, including soldiers marching down the Champs-Élysées, flying planes, bombing cities, and shooting rifles. Facing the video screen, turn to your left and walk straight ahead about 8 feet forward to a 10-feet-long wall display extending off to your right. The next series of exhibits discusses FDR's 1940 third-term decision, election campaign, and results. To listen to this additional information, please press 712 on your audio player. If you do not wish to listen to this description, please turn right and walk forward about 15 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You're facing a wall covered with a 4 feet wide, floor-to-ceiling, black and white photograph of a destroyed building in London with a policeman walking through the destruction. Note that about 3 feet to the right, the wall makes a 45-degree bend away from you to the right. About 6 feet further along, there is a display on an angled ledge that protrudes from the wall about 12 inches. A panel at the beginning of the wall on the left tells us of FDR's four freedoms. To listen to the information about this subject, please press 713 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Now turn around 180 degrees and walk about 10 feet on a slight angle to the right. You'll come to a small open video display space with two wooden benches. A 6-minute video entitled The Reluctant Neutral is activated by a motion sensor. To listen to the information about this subject, please press 714 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to the video and additional described information, turn left after turning away from the Four Freedoms wall and walk about 8 feet on a slight angle to the left to the start of a long hallway. You'll pass a fire exit door on your right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You are facing down a hallway about 40 feet long. The right side of the hallway displays orange banners hanging from the ceiling labeled by year, starting in 1939 and ending in 1942. Panels and exhibits line the hallway both to the right and to the left down its length. Timeline exhibits covering 1939 through 1942 run across the top and bottom of the long wall to your right. The top timeline references international events, while the lower timeline details American actions. Interspersed in the middle of the wall along the way are alternating text panels and plexiglass display cases, which protrude from the wall about 6 inches. For more details on how the nation prepared for war while hoping for peace, as well as the 1939 timeline, please press 715 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. About 2 feet to the left is a case displaying a handwritten note by Roosevelt upon learning that Germany invaded Poland. Awakened in the middle of the night, FDR wrote this note documenting for posterity how he learned of the war's outbreak. 4 feet further to the left is a panel on your right under the 1940 banner talking about FDR's efforts to sell arms to Great Britain and France. To listen to more information about this subject, as well as the 1940 timeline and artifacts, please press 716 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please continue down the hallway to your left about 6 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Continue down the hallway to your left about 4 feet to the display of telegrams from America's ambassador to France and one from the ambassador to Great Britain concerning Germany's actions. The exhibit also features the pen FDR used to sign papers authorizing a military draft, anti-Roosevelt campaign buttons, and a letter from Winston Churchill detailing Britain's dire military and economic situation. For detailed information about these items, please press 717 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Continue about another 2 feet to your left. A large black and white photograph on the wall to your right depicts fires raging on a street in England after a German bombing raid. It is 1941. To listen to more detailed information of how the world is moving to the brink of war in Europe and Asia, as well as a description of the 1941 timeline up to December 5th, please press 718 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this additional information, please continue down the hall another 8 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Lining the wall are descriptions of both international and American events throughout 1941. To listen to additional information about those events, please press 719 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Continue down the hall about another 5 feet to the left. On your right is an exhibit containing several artifacts, a press release, and memo about the U.S. providing aid to Moscow after Germany's invasion, a map of the North Atlantic with FDR's notes written on it, a metal fragment from a German bomb, which is about 10 inches long and is shaped like a thick, threadless screw, and a keepsake given to Roosevelt, shaped like a flat, eight-sided dinner plate made from stained glass fragments from Britain's House of Commons bomb-shattered windows. For more information about these items, please press 720 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Now turn to your right and retrace your steps back up the long hallway about 15 feet. Then turn right to face the start of a series of exhibits running down the side of the hallway, beginning with a discussion of the Atlantic Charter Conference. To listen to information about these exhibits, please press 721 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this description, please turn right and walk about 8 feet, then turn left. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. 8 feet further down the hall to the right is a plexiglass exhibit case mounted to the wall with a letter, press release, and telegram about the Atlantic Charter Conference. To listen to more information about these artifacts, please press 722 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn right and walk about 3 feet, and then turn left. You're facing an open theater with two wooden benches facing a video screen another 8 feet ahead on the far wall. The walls of the theater recall the riveted metal panels of a battleship's walls. This exhibit displays a 6-minute film about Pearl Harbor and includes, to the left, a tactile model of the USS Arizona, the battleship that was attacked at Pearl Harbor. Feel free to examine it with your hands. To listen to the video, simply press pause. To listen to the text displayed here, please press 723 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this additional information, please turn around 180 degrees and walk about 2 feet. If at any time you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. On the wall in front of you is an enormous orange circle, about 5 feet in diameter, signifying the events of December 7th, 1941, when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. If you'd like to listen to a brief description of those events, as well as the timeline for 1941 starting on December 7th through the end of that year, and some artifacts from that time period, please press 724 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this additional information, please turn left and walk about 8 feet and turn right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Descriptions of both international and American events over the course of 1941, from December 7th to the 25th, line the wall. To listen to additional information about those events, please press 725 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. 5 feet down the hall, to your left, is a display case on the right containing a metal fragment from the USS Arizona. The fragment is about 5 inches square, dark brown, with a raised, rough-hammered texture. There is also a memorandum to FDR about the situation in Hawaii and a draft of Roosevelt's war message to Congress. To listen to additional information about these items, please press 726 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Continue down the hallway about 2 feet. You are now standing underneath a 1942 banner. To listen to more information about America's entry into World War II, as well as a detailed timeline from December 22, 1941 through January 23, 1942, including the formation of the Allied Coalition, please press 727 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn left and walk about 10 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Descriptions of both international and American events from December 1941 through mid-January 1942 are displayed on the wall. To listen to additional information about those events, please press 728 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Walk about 2 feet further left to a panel that reads, "The Allied Coalition. We have joined with many other nations and peoples in a very great cause." Franklin Roosevelt, Christmas Eve message to the nation, December 24, 1941. On December 23, 1941, reporters entered the Oval Office for a press conference. There they found a smiling FDR and a surprise guest, Winston Churchill. America's new ally had come to Washington to plot strategy. While they met, Roosevelt was also moving to cement ties to America's other new ally, the Soviet Union. America, Great Britain, the USSR, and China form the core of a broad international coalition fighting the Axis powers. On January 1, 1942, Roosevelt, Churchill, Soviet Foreign Minister Maxim Litvinov, and Chinese Ambassador T.V. Soong met at the White House to sign a declaration pledging each to defend life, liberty, independence, and religious freedom, and to preserve human rights and justice. Eventually, 22 other nations would sign the declaration. Roosevelt named this wartime coalition the United Nations. Later, he would lead efforts to expand it into a post-war international organization. Walk to the left about 5 feet to an exhibit case on your right that includes a letter from FDR to Winston Churchill regarding the war and suggesting strategic moves, a cable from Winston Churchill responding to Roosevelt's letter, and a letter from a lieutenant general regarding the Doolittle raid. To listen to additional information about these artifacts, please press 729 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Please walk about 2 feet to the left. A panel on your right talks about the dire situation the Allies faced at the start of 1942. To listen to more information about the Allies on the defensive, as well as a detailed description of the 1942 timeline from February to August, please press 730 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Descriptions of both international and American events during 1942 line the wall. To listen to additional information about those events, please press 731 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. An exhibit about 5 feet further down the hall to your left displays a telegram and response from FDR regarding conditions on Corregidor Island in the Philippines, a battered round metal radio compass that has a dial going from left to right, and a draft memo about Guadalcanal. If you'd like to hear the text discussing these items, please press 732 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn around 180 degrees and walk about 3 feet to a small alcove about FDR and Pearl Harbor and Japanese-American internment, including two interactive touchscreen exhibits. If you'd like to hear more information about these exhibits, please press 733 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this additional information, please turn right and walk about 6 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. To find out more about operating the FDR and Pearl Harbor interactive exhibit, and if you'd like to listen to the additional information contained in this interactive display, please press 734 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Within the alcove is information about the internment of Japanese Americans. Note that a video panel to the right is on an angled ledge protruding from the wall about 12 inches. A panel on the wall above the video panel reads, "Japanese American Internment." In the uncertain weeks after Pearl Harbor, many Americans, particularly those on the Pacific coast, feared enemy attack and saw danger in every corner. These fears, combined with racial prejudice, led to a great injustice. Early in 1942, civilian and military leaders on the West Coast charged that members of the region's large Japanese-American community might be working with Japan's military to plan acts of sabotage. Though no serious evidence of this existed, they pushed the Roosevelt administration for action. On February 19, 1942, FDR issued Executive Order 9066, which led to the forced relocation of approximately 120,000 Japanese Americans living on the West Coast. More than two-thirds of these people were native-born American citizens. They were confined in inland internment camps operated by the military. Posted to the right of this panel are two evacuation notices, one written in English and one in Japanese. These government posters ordered Japanese Americans in the Los Angeles area to comply with Executive Order 9066. Posters like these appeared in communities on America's West Coast in February 1942. About a foot to your right is the second video exhibit, about waist high and about 5 feet long. The left half of the exhibit is entitled Executive Order 9066 and describes the order that led to the imprisonment of 120,000 Japanese Americans. Text on the left side of the panel reads, FDR's Executive Order 9066 led to the imprisonment of 120,000 Japanese Americans, abruptly forced to abandon or sell their homes and businesses. Many lost everything they owned. Despite this injustice, thousands of young Japanese American men from the camps volunteered to serve in the nation's military, where they distinguished themselves with extraordinary valor in combat. The 442nd Regimental Combat Team, RCT, comprised entirely of Japanese Americans, became the most decorated unit in U.S. military history for its size and length of service. The Supreme Court upheld the president's executive order in two wartime cases. But in the 1980s, the United States Congress acknowledged this gross violation of the civil liberties of American citizens and voted to provide some financial compensation to individuals confined in the camps. The Supreme Court also vacated its earlier wartime rulings. Just to the right of this text is a photograph of a Japanese family sitting in front of an American flag and a photo of a retail store with a large sign, I am an American. To the right of the photos is an interactive video touchscreen with the title, Confront the Issue, FDR and Japanese American Internment. If you'd like to hear more of the information contained in this exhibit, please press 735. On your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return where you left off, press the right arrow key. You've now reached the end of the wartime timeline. About 6 feet beyond the last display case on your right, turn left to face the wall at the end of this hallway. Covering the wall is a black and white photograph of women assembling airplane parts and canopies. Turn left and walk about 6 feet to two large color maps covering the wall on your right. Each map is about 8 feet wide by 12 feet tall. The first map details the war in Europe and Africa, illustrating which geographical areas were controlled by either the Axis or Allied forces, as well as which areas were neutral. The far map illustrates the war in the Pacific, indicating which areas were under the control of the Japanese versus the Allies, as well as the neutral areas. Turn around 180 degrees and walk about 3 feet forward to a tall panel featuring the image of Uncle Sam, a man in his 60s or 70s with white hair and a long goatee, dressed in red, white, and blue. He wears a tall white and blue hat with stars on it. He looks directly at us and points at us with his right index finger. Text reads, Leading on the Home Front. There is one front and one battle where everyone in the United States, every man, woman, and child, is in action. That front is right here at home, in our daily lives, and in our daily tasks. Franklin Roosevelt, Fireside Chat, April 28, 1942. To fight a global war, America needed to mobilize its entire population on the home front. This enormous effort touched almost every aspect of life and unleashed economic forces that reverberated for generations. Under FDR's direction, government assumed unprecedented economic powers. Defense spending skyrocketed. Millions of Americans paid federal income taxes for the first time. To control inflation, the government put limits on wages, prices, and rents. And to conserve scarce goods, it rationed products ranging from gasoline to sugar. As the war effort heated up, FDR signaled that further New Deal reforms would be postponed. Dr. New Deal, he explained, was now Dr. Win the War. Eleanor Roosevelt objected to this decision, but the war itself soon brought new possibilities for reform. Booming war industries generated millions of jobs. This created unprecedented opportunities for women, African Americans, and other minorities, and fostered demands for greater social and economic opportunity. To the right, on the same panel, are three colorful posters. One shows three women with the text, "Soldiers Without Guns." One shows black and white men machinists hard at work in front of an American flag with the text, "United, We Win." And a third shows a woman and a young boy holding farm tools with the text, "Join us on the farm front." Facing the poster, turn left and walk about 4 feet to a doorway on your right. Turn right, moving from carpeted flooring to wood, to a replica of a 1940s dining room with additional description about FDR's fireside chats during World War II. If you'd like to explore this room and listen to more information about FDR's conversation with America, along with several recordings of his fireside chats from the era, please press 736 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this description, please turn right and walk about 8 feet back to the maps depicting occupied and neutral areas in Europe, Africa, and the Pacific. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Now please turn to the left and walk 8 feet ahead to an exhibit on your right entitled "Mobilizing the Economy." To listen to more information about how vital American war production was to Allied success, please press 737 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Walk another 4 feet left to a panel on the right about FDR's dog, Fala, a black Scottish terrier. Note that right below this panel is a life-size sculpture of Fala on a raised 8-inch platform protruding about 3 feet out from the wall on the floor near your feet. Feel free to examine Fala with your hands. Proceed around Fala's statue on the left to a step about 8 inches high in front of a display behind plexiglass about Fala. If you'd like to listen to more information about FDR's dog, as well as descriptions of artifacts in the cabinet to your left about Fala, please press 738 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this description, please turn around 180 degrees, walk 10 feet past an emergency exit on your left, and turn to the right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, please press the right arrow key. The next exhibit discusses how FDR behaved as Commander-in-Chief. To listen to more information on this subject, as well as Allied disagreements on where to concentrate their forces, please press 739 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn away from the wall and Commander-in-Chief display and walk about 6 feet to an exhibit entitled "Mobilizing the People." A panel on the left tells us how war mobilization touched nearly every aspect of American life. To listen to more information on this subject, please press 740 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Please turn to your right and walk approximately 4 feet forward to the side of an exhibit cabinet. Turn to the right around its plexiglass front and turn to the left. The case displays a wooden scale model of a military troop landing craft, about 3 feet long and 6 inches wide. Text tells us that it was given to FDR by the president of the company that built them in New Orleans. Displayed on a shelf above the ship is a metal bullet-scarred propeller tip about a foot tall from a Japanese warplane that was given to Roosevelt with an inscription recalling the efforts of American schoolchildren who raised $510 million for military equipment through purchasing war bonds and stamps. There's also a model A-26 bomber airplane about a foot long. Now turn right to face a panel entitled ER and Wartime Social Changes. On the wall, Eleanor Roosevelt is seated at a desk in front of a large round radio microphone. To listen to more information about Eleanor's advocacy, please press 741 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. From a position facing the Eleanor Roosevelt image, turn to your right and walk about 4 feet forward to the side of an exhibit case. Turn right and around the cabinet and face the case on your left. Behind the plexiglass is the American Red Cross uniform and travel purse Eleanor Roosevelt wore while she toured the Pacific as a representative of the American Red Cross in 1943. The gray wool uniform consists of a suit jacket and skirt with a matching hat. A text panel inside the exhibit tells us of Eleanor Roosevelt's wartime travels. To listen to the text of this exhibit, please press 742 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, please press the right arrow key. Now turn left and proceed on an angle, about 10 feet to a panel on the opposite wall. The next series of exhibits, stretching to your left, discusses war strategy, leading U.S. generals and admirals, more about the relationship between Roosevelt and Churchill, how American anger shifted to Germany following Pearl Harbor, and the first atomic bomb. If you'd like to listen to more detailed information about these exhibits, please press 743 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this description, please turn left and walk about 15 feet to an exhibit on your right at about waist height. It's on an angled ledge that protrudes from the wall about 12 inches. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. On the wall is a 4 feet wide black-and-white photograph showing rows upon rows of German troops at a Nazi rally at Nuremberg in 1937. From a position facing this photograph, walk 3 feet to your left to a plexiglass case on your right containing more letters of the period. To listen to the information contained in these letters, please press 744 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Text above an angled ledge exhibit reads, Prelude to the Holocaust, 1939 to 1941. To listen to the text of this panel, as well as the accompanying interactive exhibit on FDR and the origins of the Holocaust, please press 745 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn around 180 degrees and walk ahead about 4 feet to a panel on the wall to your left, entitled Leading by Example, and a display of photographs of each of FDR's four sons wearing military hats. All four served during World War II. If you would like to hear details on how the Roosevelts felt the same pain as families around the country, please press 746 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Directly to your right is the side of an exhibit case that extends from the wall about 2 feet. Turn to the right around the case and walk about 3 feet, then turn left. Behind plexiglass are artifacts that include correspondence between the Roosevelts and their sons during the war. FDR's Selective Service Card, FDR's ration book used during wartime to obtain scarce goods, and a cocktail set with a silver pitcher and six silver glasses. FDR's cocktail hour was an evening ritual shared with family and friends that eased wartime stress as government talk was forbidden. About 4 feet further down to the right is a panel entitled The Map Room, FDR's Top Secret Communications Center. To listen to more details about the White House Map Room, as well as details on the various war operations FDR tracked, please press 747 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Please turn right and walk about 10 feet. Turn to your right to face a large wall map of the Pacific Ocean. You've now reached the end of the exhibits on the top floor of the museum. Turn around 180 degrees, walk about 3 feet, and turn right. The tour and exhibits continue downstairs. Ahead of you, about 10 feet, is a set of stairs. To the left of the stairs is an elevator. A 4-foot-tall angled metal map of the museum sits in front of a short 5-foot-tall half wall separating the two. If you would prefer to take the elevator, you'll note the transition from wood to carpet in several feet. Proceed another 5 feet to the elevator and take it to the ground floor. A metal fire extinguisher cabinet is mounted on the wall to the left of the elevator doors. The elevator call buttons are inset on the wall. Once on the ground floor, step out of the elevator and walk about 3 feet forward. The doorway to the stairs is on your left. Please note, when you get to the ground floor, you can find water fountains and restrooms out the back doors, around the corner, up two stairs, and down the hallway to the right. For those who wish to take the stairs, proceed forward, stepping off the wood floor onto carpet. The short half wall is about 2 more feet ahead on your left, and the 3 feet wide staircase begins about another foot beyond that, with handrails on both sides. Using the handrails and starting at the top of the staircase, step down 3 steps to a landing. Follow the landing around to your right, making a U-turn. With handrails on both sides, step forward and descend 14 more steps to a second landing. Make a U-turn around to the right again to a final set of 4 steps to a landing on the ground floor. Turn left through a doorway onto the carpet about 2 feet and turn left. The elevator doors are behind you. Whether you came to this location via the elevator or the stairs, note that there are water fountains and bathrooms close by. To hear directions to these facilities from this location, please press 748 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Continuing the tour from this location, walk about 3 feet forward to a text panel on your left that reads, Leading the World War II Generation. To listen to more information about the servicemen and women of the 1940s, please press 749 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Moving about 4 feet along the wall to your left, another text panel discusses what was known as the Second Front. It is followed by a series of exhibits on Allied advances leading up to D-Day and the Allied sacrifices of World War II. To listen to more detailed information about these exhibits, please press 750 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please walk forward about 8 feet and turn right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You are facing a large 6-foot glass-enclosed cube displaying a giant 4-foot round globe. President Roosevelt kept this globe near his Oval Office desk and used it to trace troop movements and plan military strategy. Turn around 180 degrees and walk about 8 feet on a slight angle to your left to the beginning of a series of exhibits on the wartime conferences in Tehran and Yalta. If you'd like to listen to more detailed information about these wartime conference exhibits, please press 751 on your audio player. If you do not wish to listen to this description, please turn left and follow the wall on your right about 25 feet. Then please turn around 180 degrees and walk about 8 feet before turning to your right and a floor-to-ceiling display on the 1944 election. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You're standing in front of a 10 feet by 10 feet display entitled The 1944 Election. A large 8-foot square photograph shows FDR shaking hands with Vice President Harry Truman after taking his fourth oath of office. This was a simple, scaled-down affair staged on the south portico of the White House instead of the Capitol. To listen to additional text giving a snapshot of the nation at this time and an overview of the 1944 election results, please press 752 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Please turn around 180 degrees and walk about 4 feet forward to a panel describing how FDR, though ill and wearied by the burdens of leadership, felt a duty to seek re-election in 1944. Below that is another Confront the Issue interactive exhibit on an angled ledge that protrudes from the wall about 12 inches, entitled FDR's Health. To listen to the information contained in this panel and interactive exhibit, please press 753 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. From this interactive display, turn right and walk about 5 feet before turning left to face into a small video display space open room theater about 10 feet square with four square seating blocks to your left and right about 3 feet ahead. A 5-minute series of newsreels are shown here, triggered by a motion sensor in the ceiling between the first set of benches. A text panel at the back of the right wall of the theater reads, "Newsreels." In an age before television and the internet, most Americans got their news from magazines and newspapers. If they wanted to see for themselves what was happening on the home front or overseas, they only had one option: a trip to their local movie theater to see the latest newsreels. Newsreels were short films that ran before or after feature films in theaters. They covered a variety of news ranging from world events to human interest stories. Program length, 5 minutes. Facing the screen from the back of the theater, turn around 180 degrees and walk about 3 feet forward and then turn left to begin the next series of exhibits on FDR and the Holocaust. In front of you is an interactive touchscreen exhibit on the subject on an angled ledge stand that protrudes from the wall about 12 inches. To listen to more information about these exhibits, please press 754 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn right and walk 3 feet to a panel just to the right and above the Holocaust Interactive. The panel is labeled the War Refugee Board. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. A panel set in front of a large photograph of an open oven reads, "The War Refugee Board." A pivotal moment in the Roosevelt administration's response to the Holocaust was a January 16, 1944 White House meeting involving FDR and Treasury Secretary Henry Morgenthau, Jr. At this meeting, Morgenthau, a longtime friend of Roosevelt, presented a blunt personal report on what he and other Treasury officials believed to be the State Department's acquiescence in Germany's mass murder of Jews. The startling evidence of State Department incompetence, delay, and even obstruction of a variety of rescue efforts convinced FDR to issue an executive order on January 22nd, establishing the War Refugee Board, an independent commission to coordinate governmental and private efforts to rescue those who might still be saved. The board is credited with helping to save up to 200,000 Jews. From a position facing this exhibit, turn around 180 degrees. Walk about 20 feet across the entire width of the room on a slight angle to the left. You'll come to the next series of exhibits focused on planning for peace at home and abroad. To listen to more information about this subject, please press 755 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn to your right and walk about 10 feet to a wall that is crisscrossed with horizontal and curved vertical slats, a stylized depiction of the globe. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. The wall to your right is slightly concave and crisscrossed with latitude and longitude slats that you may touch, and the shape of the continents highlighted in blue. This concludes the seventh section of our tour. Please move about 6 feet along this wall to a 6 feet wide open doorway on your right. Turn right and walk through this doorway onto a wooden floor into the next gallery of the museum. You can access the audio description for the next section of our tour, FDR's Death and Legacy, by pressing the rightmost button in the top row of your player's keypad, or press 8 on your audio tour player.